One of these days, I'm going to learn how to operate this machine. The epistle appointed to be read for this, the Septuagesima Sunday, is taken from the first epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, do you not know that those who run in a race all indeed run, but one receives the prize? So run as to obtain it. And everyone in the contest abstains from all things, and they indeed to receive a perishable crown, but we an imperishable. I therefore so run as not without a purpose. I so fight as not beating the air. But I chastise my body and bring it into subjection, lest perhaps after preaching to others, I myself should become a castaway. For I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized in Moses, in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Yet with most of them, God was not well pleased. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Matthew. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a householder who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And having agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And having about the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace idle. And he said to them, go you also into my vineyard, and I will give you whatever is just. So they went. And again he went out about the sixth and about the ninth hour and did as before. But about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing about, and he said to them, why do you stand here all day idle? And they said to him, because no man has hired us. He said to them, go you also into my vineyard. And when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning from the last, even to the first. Now, when they of the 11th hour came, they received each a denarius. And when the first in their turn came, they thought that they would receive more, but they also received each his denarius. And on receiving it, they began to murmur against the householder, saying, these last have worked a single hour, and thou hast put them on a level with us, who have borne the burden of the day's heat. But answering one of them, he said, friend, I do thee no injustice. Did thou not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is thine and go. I choose to give to this last even as to thee. Have I not a right to do what I choose? Even so, the last shall be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. First of all, this morning, my beloved people, a certain lady by the name of Mary Hussey died about 2 days ago. A very wonderful little lady, twisted and bent with sickness and so on. She could not go to Mass on Sunday because of a stubborn child, a stubborn son, and she was kept at home. She died. You do not know who she was, but I'm asking you this morning for your very special prayers for her. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Eternal rest grant unto her, O Lord. May her soul and all the souls of the faithful departed, with the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. Father Joseph went to Montgomery this morning for the chapel down there, so he will not be here, and there will be no catechism class this morning for the children. Immediately after Mass this morning, we will have the St. Blaise blessing, and which means, therefore, for the oblates who normally have their meeting on the first Sunday, they will not meet this morning because of the St. Blaise blessing. Saturday of this week is the feast of St. Scholastica. This, for the Benedictines, is a very special occasion. She was the sister of our Father, St. Benedict, and is, of course, the patron of our sisters. Therefore, I ask you very specially to pray to her and to ask for the welfare of our sisters and our convent. In this morning's bulletin, we have listed the daily readings for Septuagesima. They begin tonight or today. And I especially urge all of you, especially those of you with children, to do this conscientiously and when all are gathered together. And this should be done by the father of the family, and in his absence by the mother, not the child, but the mother. This is not to be taken as an exercise to see how well the child can read. This is serious business, and it must be taken seriously by serious people. So, my beloved people, I ask you to do this conscientiously. And in today's gospel, we read, "Even so, the last shall be first, and the first last." My beloved people, in the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost, amen. These two readings that we had this morning, both from St. Paul and the Gospel, fit right well together. We're starting Septuagesima this morning, and this is a very serious, again, using the word serious over and over again because it is important. This is a very serious time of the year. It's not Lent. Lent has not yet begun. And fasting and abstaining has not yet begun. But this is a beginning, a preparation for the great season of Lent. We'll talk about that, of course, as we come to it. St. Paul told us about the athlete this morning. And he told us how the athlete had to get himself in shape. And he told us to what extent and to what degree, what he had to do and how he did it, and with what enthusiasm he did what he did. simply to win the race. Nothing stood in his way. Only one will win the race. And we, my beloved people, are in a similar race, but for a different kind of crown. We must try to put the importance on that crown that it deserves. We speak of it here, and of course I know how you accept it and how you understand it. But unfortunately, you all have to live out amongst everyone. And to give you just a quick similitude, I myself was told only this morning that this evening everything stops. Is this not Super Bowl night? Everything stops for this. No questions asked. Everything changes in order to fit this schedule for a perishable crown. But our blessed Lord, as it comes to him, do you think in your fondest imagination that we could say to anybody, everything stops? The gospel this morning. The apostles were human, just like you and I. They were not the most intelligent. They were not the most, they were well-read. They were just ordinary men. And they understood things in a very ordinary fashion. They had been with our Lord for some time now, I suppose. And somehow or other, they were missing the point. They usually did. And our Lord had to more or less take them aside, sit down with them, and explain the matter to them. They had heard something about leaving father and mother and son and wife and whoever else, daughter and property and farm and house and whatever else. They'd heard all these things from our Lord, and they told our Lord, now Lord, we've done all of this, haven't we? We've left our business. St. Matthew left his business. We've left our family. We've left our people. We've left everything. We're following thee, O Lord. Then, after this morning's gospel, they were hit in the head with the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. Now, for some of them, they sat back in the chairs or wherever they were, under the tree someplace, I believe. And they started clapping their hands, and they said to themselves, oh my, surely I have left everything. I am entitled to be first. Our Lord read their thoughts. and very quickly put them straight in the matter. And he brought to them this parable. Those who have done so much to live out their religious life. The average person, of course, is not asked to leave father and mother and son and daughter and whoever else and come and follow him in the way that we would interpret that today, namely by going into a convent or a monastery or a seminary or whatever. But he's speaking there to the average person in the world. We live out our religious obligations. We say our prayers. We come to Mass regularly. Theoretically, I mean, in parentheses, quotations, we have left in our own way our father and mother and sons and daughters and so on, in our own way. And therefore, we might stand off at a distance and be tempted to say something like, "Dear Lord, look at what I have done. Look at what I am doing. Do you not think that I am entitled to some kind of special consideration?" Our blessed Lord was talking to the apostles, but he was talking to us too. Do we not expect special consideration? Look at what we are doing. But many are called, but few are chosen. These words are scary. As we have said it over and over and over yet again, my beloved people, let us not fool ourselves into thinking, into believing that simply because all of these things are being done by us, our special prayers, our special this, our special that, the nine Fridays, the first Saturdays, go so on and so on, that we therefore are entitled. And sometimes we see this one or that one, notorious for a not good life, I'll put it that way. Notorious for a not good life. And we see them at the last hour. Something happened. Many are called, but few are chosen. And those at the last hour were allowed in. In my own life, I have two experiences of that sort. One was a man, and one was a woman. The man was himself, I think, naturally honest, but that's about it. The woman hated God and said so. She had no use for me because, in her estimation, I brought to her mind that which she hated. Later on, I heard that she was in the hospital. Actually, she was dying in a very serious case of cancer. I went to see her. She had not spoken to me for years, and she went around spreading all kinds of stuff, this, that, and the other, Catholic priest, this, blah, 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 that, and the other thing, you know, the usual. I went to see her. If she knew that I was talking about her right now, she'd turn over in her grave. I went to see her, and I asked her how she was feeling, and she says, I'm not doing well. And she looked at me in the eyes and said to me, would you please baptize me? I somehow have the feeling that she is where she needed to be, in heaven. She had done nothing but whatever it was in her was noticed, and I think it had to, because this much I know about her. Even though it was wrong, she was always sincere, even in her error. And I know when she said, would you baptize me, that it came from the depths of her heart. My beloved people, it is all in our sincerity when we're dealing with God. God does not look at what we do so much as he looks at what motivates that which we do. We are living in a period of time where religious motivation that we are completely divorced today from religion. It means nothing, absolutely nothing. We try to shield our children, we try to protect our children every way possible, but I've told you it's in the air we breathe. Therefore, during these days of Septuagesima and Lent, I'm not asking that we set aside and make a list, as I always say something about this every year. I do not look for resolutions. I do not ask for a list of things, of do's and don'ts. There's only one thing that I ask. And that is that we take time out alone. Alone. And with God's help to evaluate where we stand. Let us not be certain, as the apostles were, because they'd given up everything, and that they would not be last, but they would be first in the kingdom. Let us not be so certain of that. Today, it seems that the tendency is, elsewhere or wherever in religion, that everybody is so good, everybody is so this and so that, that when he dies or she dies, regardless of whatever, he is definitely saved. Not so. Unless we can give to God the kind of sincerity of a Mary Magdalene. We always go to Mary Magdalene. Unless we can give to God the sincerity of a good thief, unless we can do that, my beloved people, let us not think that we have won the race. God does not look or ask that we condition ourselves as an athlete, that we go to him as a big show-off, an athletic show-off. You know, these athletes that go around, they're constantly showing themselves off and what they can do, what they can't do. God's not looking for that. He's looking for the poor little, shriveled up little lady that I was speaking of. I knew her. She went to chapel in Birmingham when she was allowed to go. A poor little lady, she was no taller than almost the top of this communion rail when she was all bent over. But one of the most beautiful people I've known. Simple, ordinary, unassuming. You certainly couldn't see her because she was always halfway up somebody's waist. But let us look at our Lord again, just for a moment before quitting. Let us look at the companions that our Lord had, starting off with his first visitors, the shepherds. Would you have allowed the shepherds, as I've asked before, would you have allowed the shepherds at the birth of your child, or at your table, or in your homes? I kind of doubt it. And all the way through, our blessed Lord, oh yes, our blessed Lord went to the marriage feast, and he ate with the Pharisees and went into their homes from time to time and ate at their table from time to time. Yes, we know that. But these were not his ordinary companions. And besides that, when he went into this house or that house, he went in there with a purpose, and he usually carried it out. But who did our Lord walk around with? Who were they who were following him by the thousands? The poor, the poorest of the poor. We do not understand poverty today because poverty today is really not poverty. Today, I don't think that there is a person, at least in our experience, elsewhere, we're not speaking of that, but in our own experience, I don't think we have ever really encountered a truly poverty-stricken person. The poor today live not too terribly bad. They live somewhat all right. They're poor, but the poor of our Lord's day were poor. Destitute people looking for scraps wherever they could find them to eat. These were they that our blessed Lord walked around with. These were they who were present when our blessed Lord multiplied bread and fish. And we say thousand. Yes, there were. They said that the book says there were men. No, there were about 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children. But sadness upon sadness later on, when our Lord said to them, these same people, many of them, these same people, unless you eat of my flesh and my blood, you shall not have life in you. And what did they do? They turned around and left. And the important thing here is this. Our blessed Lord did not say to them, please stay back and give me time to explain. When they left. And he turned to the apostles and he said, will you too leave me? And that's when Peter spoke out or spoke up. And that's when Peter was rewarded. He would have let his apostles go had they also said, it is a hard saying. My beloved people, when it comes to the things that pertain to God, we cannot fool around with anything that is uncertain. Septuagesima starts today. I hope that you will find it appropriate and proper for yourselves to begin a season. I don't mean that you should go and follow the particular liturgical trappings of the church where the altar now, for the first time since Christmas, is denuded of any decoration and has gone to purple and penance. I don't mean that, but I do mean that your homes should be so arranged and that your attitude should be such that especially your children will understand. People usually do not know the importance of example. Parents, give your children example, good example, proper example, consistent example. Look after your children. Look after your children. And I don't know if I've told you this, and I will quit, I promise you, after this one point. It happened in this parking lot right out here. One of you children in this church right here, right now, I don't remember who you were. Somehow or other, I was complaining, and this child, about 13, 14 years old, a child now, heard me complain about the condition of things and overheard me say something about children who this, that, and the other today. This child comes up to me uninvited, unsolicited, unprompted. It was as unplanned as a hiccup. And this child looked up to me and said, Father, you think that we are bad? Wait till you see what's coming up behind us. This was a 13, 14, 15-year-old child speaking, not an old man like me.